And I want to welcome you to I Want to Know More for this week. On the podcast this week, we're going to 2 Samuel chapter number 19, beginning reading with verse number 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God, is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. All right. One of the more deep and difficult portions of Mephibosheth's life is right here, at least in my eyes. Now, I've heard several messages about it. I've heard a number of messages how Mephibosheth was in Lodabar, and he came out of Lodabar, and the king called for him, and how he was elevated to the king's table. But then later, Ziba, his servant, connived and got the land, because Mephibosheth would not come, and Ziba slandered him, at least that's what Mephibosheth says, against King David. Now it becomes an exercise in who do you believe? Who do you believe? The Bible does not tell us Mephibosheth is telling the truth. The Bible does not tell us that he's lying. The Bible does not tell us that Ziba is telling the truth or that Ziba is lying. We are left in the dark. And most of us, when we read stuff like this, we don't like that. We don't like to be left in the dark and left hanging and left without a clear-cut answer. It makes us think about the possibilities. And what are the possibilities here? I mean, there's a number of possibilities that are here and that could possibly be the situation at hand. There are a number of possibilities here. Number one, Mephibosheth really did think that he could stay around and gain favor with Absalom and then win the kingdom. That's one possibility. That possibility means Ziba was telling the truth. The other possibility is Mephibosheth was just following the winds of opportunity. Whoever was in the kingdom is where he would be and who he would be with. So what clues does the Bible have for us? Well, the third possibility, before we get into the clues, the third possibility is Mephibosheth is exactly what he says he is. He is, he was deceived, he was slandered, and now he's before the king. Now, David's answer to this tells me that David's got a little bit of a difficult situation because he wasn't there, he didn't see, and Ziba's over here with Shimei, you know. Ziba came with Shimei. So let's look at this. What clues do we have here that tell us what might be the situation? Ziba is with Shimei. And yes, Shimei is saying at least that he's glad David's back and he's sorry for what he did. But he brought 1,000 men with him, remember? Ziba's with this boy. That tells me that Ziba, servant of Saul, he wanted to be servant of the king and it not be David, I believe. And I believe he didn't want it to be Mephibosheth either. Maybe he even wanted to be king. I don't know. Maybe he thought he could rise to that occasion, or maybe he would be servant to Shimei. Either way, that's who he's with. That's who he's sided up with. And they've got 1,000 men now. Again, that is a powerful clue as to the situation here. So you cannot trust what Ziba had to say. But at the same time, can you trust what Mephibosheth said? Well, first off, he didn't come meet David until David was back at Jerusalem. And Mephibosheth came back to Jerusalem, meaning he was outside of Jerusalem to begin with. Now, if he had been trying to get in Absalom's good graces, and if he had really been against David, would he have left Jerusalem to begin with? I mean, think about the situation that must have caused him to leave Jerusalem. How did he do it even? Well, the Bible says he had sons, okay? We looked at that when we looked at Mephibosheth earlier on, and we looked at his lineage, and we looked at how many generations came after him all the way down to the captivity and coming back from the captivity. And so Mephibosheth had a son, and he and his sons probably helped him out and helped him with the situation and helped carry him around, even when Ziba would not. Ziba was left to be his servant. But Ziba is not with him. Ziba is with Shimei. These clues imply to me that at least part of what Mephibosheth's saying here is true. The other part is the fact that he's unkempt. His hair, his beard, his clothes. All right. Now there's two sides of that. There's two ways of taking that. There's two ways to look at that. Number one, Mephibosheth, why didn't you clean up before you come to see me, boy? I mean, that would be the first thing that a lot of people would think of. Instead of thinking, boy, he really was sad, and he really was grieving, they would say, well, why hasn't he cleaned up? And why doesn't he celebrate me coming back in? I mean, there's opportunity. It's not too difficult to clean yourself up and wash your clothes. Why are you coming with sackcloth again? Why are you coming that way, Mephibosheth? Was he genuinely grieved? But then why not clean up before David gets there? He's got time. He hears David's on his way back. Why doesn't he clean up and say that? I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of loose ends in this story. There are. And I guess the moral and the point is to show us that we need to dig deeper. There's more than meets the eye to most of these situations in the Word of God. And sometimes, folk, you'll come into church and somebody will be a certain way and you'll wonder what their motivations are. And you never will know, and you never can know. And I've seen situations like that in church where people had things happen and when it happened, it seemed like it was one way, and then you find out later it was a different way. I've seen that happen many a time with many a folk, from the pastor to the kids, all the way down to the kids in the church. People sitting and cutting up while the preacher's preaching. People sitting and, well, dozing off while the preacher's preaching. And people seemingly supporting the preacher, but in reality, they're actively opposing him, but doing it in a certain way to where it's difficult to see, and they'll make a big show of how much they support him, or they will take up more of his time than everybody else put together. And looking from the outside in, sometimes it's difficult to know what the motivations are. And sometimes you'll find out later that the motivations were not what they seemed. And you find out things that tell you more about the circumstance and the situation. We have no closure here with Mephibosheth. David, I believe, understands this. And so he tells Ziba, he says, all right. Well, he tells Mephibosheth, you and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth says, he can have it all. As long as you're back, I don't care. He can have it all. Now, I don't believe that actually occurred. I think David would have followed through and made sure that they divided the land evenly. And Ziba was right there. This was right after the situation with Shimei. Maybe David realized that he should have given Ziba something to begin with for finding this boy and knowing about him and keeping track of him. But again, Ziba was probably doing that for ulterior motives. He knew that Mephibosheth was heir to King Saul. He was the one of the few living descendants of Saul. We're going to find in a couple of chapters some more. There's more. There are more descendants of Saul out there. But this one was through Jonathan. David had a covenant with Jonathan. He loved him like his own father, or like an uncle, because of the age difference now. Got to remember the age difference. It wasn't two teenage boys buddying up with each other. Nah. It's an older man and a younger man. And the world would want to pervert that. We're not even going to mention what the world thinks about it. We're not even going to go there. We're just going to say he was like his uncle. He was like that uncle that you have a special bond with in a good way. So David divides the land. He says, you divide it. You divide it with Ziba. And Mephibosheth says, I don't care about the land. All I care about your back. And again, it's from the outside looking in, it's difficult to know what the motivations are here. But David, he's king. He knows he's king. Shimei has, he was probably going to rebel until he saw David come back strong. And then he realized that that wasn't going to work out for him. And Ziba was, he was buddied up with Shimei instead of taking care of Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth didn't even bother to clean up before he came and saw David? There's more here than meets the eye. And the Bible does not resolve it for us. It gives us clues, yes. It gives us clues. Mephibosheth then makes this big speech about, oh, let Ziba have all the land. I don't care. As long as my lord the king is here, I'm fine. Because I was but a dead dog. And he's right. He understands. He understands that he's not worthy of what he's been given. And you know what, folk? As Christians, you know, Mephibosheth is often used as the type of the saved sinner when we're talking about types in the Word of God. I've heard it preached numerous times. One time in particular that stuck with me over the years about looking back at Lodabar. And I don't listen to that message very often, but when I do, it always touches my heart, knowing where the Lord has brought me from. Was I deep into sin, and was I a murderer? No. Was I all mixed up into all kinds of drugs and the lifestyle that goes along with that? No. but I am no better than anyone else. I am just as guilty of the blood of Christ as anyone else. And this is where a lot of people mess up. And they get born again and they get saved and they're trying to live right. And then they get upset when bad things happen to them. And that's just part of it. That's part of life. Bad things are going to happen. Books have been written. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, according to the Bible, there are no good people when it comes to the flesh. We ought to be asking, why does the Lord bless me at all? It's enough that I'm born again. It's enough that I won't have to suffer a devil's hell. That's enough. Why should I get all these great and wonderful things that being heir and joint heir with Christ implies? Because Mephibosheth knows once David's back, he can get back to the table and he can sup with him and just like it was. But it's really hard when the Bible does not clearly state what the situation really was. Again, David splits the difference here. He thinks both of them have something to hide. And both of them are back. He says, divide it with Ziba. And this tells me, again, that David, I don't believe necessarily believed Mephibosheth 100%. But then again, David had just dealt with Shimei. Shimei was indeed a wolf in sheep's clothing. Mephibosheth, you know, I have to wonder, what went through David's mind when Mephibosheth came back? As Mephibosheth got older, he probably started looking more and more like his father, Jonathan. And David being about the age Jonathan was, when Jonathan made the covenant with David. He's not far from that age. And he sees things differently now than he did when he was a young man. And he understands that part of the reason Jonathan had him right there was, well, David was. He was the competition for the throne because David was the anointed king of Israel. Things hit you different when you're in your 50s than when you were in your 20s. I know this. I look at things very differently. I look at things that happened back when I was in my 20s, and they hit differently now. They do. They hit different. And I say, wait a minute now. What was this really? What was this really? And I have a different appreciation now that I'm in my late 50s than when I was in my early 20s. There's a whole different perspective on life from the middle age to the young man. And you see things differently. And David sees things differently. And I have to wonder if he didn't see some of himself in Mephibosheth. I have to wonder if he didn't look at Mephibosheth and say, I wonder if God's anointed him and I don't know about it. Because Mephibosheth was David's competition, being son of Jonathan. But given David's track record in this, given the way David typically does things like this, he probably looks at him and sees Jonathan. And he thinks of Jonathan because as Mephibosheth gets older, he looks more and more like his father. I've noticed that in my own self. I look in the mirror now, and I see more and more of my father's face in mine. And it's a difficult thing to see, quite honestly. David splits the difference. He doesn't give it all back to Mephibosheth, and he doesn't let Ziba keep the whole shooting match. He says, divide the land. Mephibosheth says, it doesn't matter to me about the land. I don't care. I'm not looking for the material things. And folks, this is where our Christian heart ought to be. This is where Mephibosheth's being a type of a Christian, the saved Christian, ought to hit us doubly hard. He understands. He understands what really matters is David's the king. David's the king. As long as David's back, Mephibosheth is happy. It's not about the blessings. It's not about the riches. It's not even about sitting at the table and eating the king's meat. It's about the fact that the rightful king is on the throne. And folk, that, as we grow in our Christian life, and as things happen to us in our Christian life, and as we have trials that happen to us, we are to be more inclined to simply say, I'm just thankful God's on the throne. I'm just thankful Jesus Christ is there, sitting at the right hand of God on the throne. I'm just thankful for that. Whether things are going well or not, whether your cars are all messing up or your house is messing up or inflation has got you to where you're just barely making it or maybe you're barely not making it. That's worse as you watch your reserves slowly dwindle under the increasing pressure of increasing prices and salaries that don't keep pace with the wages. You know, I've done a little math. I've compared what my dad made back in the day with the cost of living back in the day to what I make now versus the cost of living. And you know what? Proportionally speaking, my dad made more than I do. In terms of how much his salary could buy and what his salary could buy and the cost of living. The cost of housing especially has gone up way faster than the salaries that support that. There was a time when a common working man could afford to raise a family, have a house, and work one job. Those days are just about gone. Those days are just about gone unless you have a really, really well-paying job. And you know, I have a well-paying job and it's still not enough. It's still not enough. Sometimes. But folk, you know what really matters? God's on the throne. That's what really matters. That, as I get older, I realize the material blessings are temporal and they're temporary. But God's on the throne and that's eternal. That ought to be what we really rejoice in, is that God's on the throne. And we have an advocate. And he's there and he's going to always be there. That should be where we really rejoice. Like Mephibosheth here, rejoicing that David was on the throne. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email to broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.